telling the story of family businesses across the St. Louis region. Thanks for joining us here on The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. In studio this weekend, it's going to be Bob and Trevor Hewlett from R.L. Hewlett Investment Banking here in St. Louis, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. It's a story of a father and son who work well together, and also a story that follows a family of entrepreneurs. They've always had that spark to work for themselves. And how has it worked for them? We'll find out in this weekend's edition of The Business of Family Business with R.L. Hewlett. Bob, I wanted to start with you at R.L. Hewlett. Where did it all begin?
I started the firm in 1981 after I returned from spending 4 years in New York. I started the firm here in St. Louis with nothing. No clients, no office, no phone number, no nothing.
What were you doing in New York?
I was with an international CPA firm, Pete Marwick Mitchell at the time. It's now KPMG.
Okay.
Pete Marwick.
So you came to St. Louis. Did you grow up here?
No, I grew up in Columbia, Missouri, and I came here after college and worked for Pete Marwick, and then I went to New York.
I see. So why did you want to come back to St. Louis and do your own thing?
Well, there's actually a couple of reasons for that. The first reason is that everybody in my family, as far back as we can trace, are all entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever worked for anybody.
Wow.
So they all had their own companies, farms, buildings. So that's what I wanted to do. That's what I learned from being a child.
Yeah. What did your dad do?
My father started an HVAC mechanical contracting company in 1929.
Wow.
During the Depression.
1929.
And it's still operating today.
Is that right?
That's right.
And your grandfather, what was he doing?
My grandfather was a farmer.
Yeah.
On both sides.
So they were able, you saw that sort of spirit, the entrepreneurial spirit,
yes.
And it sparked in you too.
Yes.
Did it come naturally?
Yes.
It was almost like it was built into your DNA.
That's right.
Yeah. What were the early years like when you first came here to St. Louis? Because you said you didn't have anything at that point. How did you get everything started?
Well, we started with absolute nothing. And I started by going out and getting a client, doing some work, and then I got another client, and then I got another client, and so it just built on itself.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have anything.
Yeah. What kind of services were you offering at the time?
Well, at the time, it was turnaround financing work. It was financing for companies, and occasionally we did an M&A deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mostly financial.
What kind of deal was that?
The first deal we ever did was a glass company.
Okay.
Glass manufacturing company.
Yeah. And when you say you made a deal, what do you mean by that?
Deals in our world are defined as the buying or selling of a company from one group to another.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what a deal was.
And that's what you're working on.
Yes.
How did you become connected with that community here? Was it word of mouth, or were you out there networking with other people that were doing the similar things?
I got up every morning and I went to meet people.
Yeah.
And I spent all day meeting people. And then after that, it was by word of mouth.
Yeah.
After we got established.
When you say meet people, where would you go to meet them?
Well, a good example of that is Commerce Bank.
Mm-hmm.
On the second floor at the Commerce Bank, before it was remodeled, all of the loan officers sat around this room and had desks outside, and I would just go from one desk to the next and say hello and talk to them and tell them what we did.
Yeah, that's all it took.
And then I closed by saying, please send me a client.
And eventually it got there. Where was your first office?
My first office was on Manchester, out by at the intersection of Weedman and Manchester. I think that building is now a bank.
Mm-hmm. And this is your son, Trevor, that you
yes.
have today.
Yes.
1981, Trevor, how old were you at that time?
I was 11.
Yeah. So you were, were you born in New York or Columbia?
Born in St. Louis.
Born in St. Louis?
Yes.
Okay. So you were at the time, did you go to New York and then you moved here to St. Louis with your dad? Is that how
yes.
it worked with the family?
Yeah, we lived in Stamford, Connecticut.
Ah, okay.
For 3 years.
So what do you remember about those early years when your dad was founding R.L. Hewlett?
He was working some long hours. I remember that. He worked hard, and you know, he wasn't around much in the early going, but, you know, as he started to generate some business things, you know, he spent some more time around the house. But in the early years, it was he was gone a lot.
Lots of hard work.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Was there any traveling involved, or did you stay in St. Louis to find your clients?
There was some traveling, but not a lot.
Yeah.
In the early years.
So tell me too, what happened for you? Was it just the momentum built over the years, or was there a moment where you saw growth at R.L. Hewlett and things started to pick up?
Well, we started, as I indicated before, we started with nothing, and
yeah.
So when we got a client, then we started to build, and we get another client, another client, another client. But nothing, there was no aha moment where it just shot up.
Yeah.
It just gradually grew.
It seems like the clients you work with, you work out these deals, and then they're gone. So it's almost like you're starting from scratch. You know, you find one, you start over.
You have to constantly market.
Yeah, constantly. The market for St. Louis, is there a lot of acquisitions that are going around for businesses? Is this like a hot market for that?
There have been over the years. Since we've been in business, for an example, we've done about 250 deals, buying or selling companies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a few.
Yeah.
We do 5 to 10 a year.
Right. So what kind of work goes into something like that that people wouldn't necessarily...
I would tell you that every deal that we do takes at least 100 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite in-depth what we do, because you get to prepare the memorandum to sell the business, then you have to help with the diligence, and you have to do evaluation to follow up with prospects. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of work involved in
right.
doing a deal.
It's not as easy as going and signing a paper.
That's exactly right.
So is Trevor your only son?
No, I have two sons.
You have two sons. Okay.
I have two sons. My other son is a registered engineer.
Mm-hmm.
He had no interest in the business.
Yeah. Trevor, did you always have interest?
I did, yeah. Early on, I spent some summers in high school and college working for Dad in the firm, and just kind of got the lay of the land, so to speak, and just was always interested and never knew quite, in the early going, didn't know quite what mergers and acquisitions meant, but
yeah.
kind of learned spending a few summers with the firm.
They work in investment banking. Bob and Trevor Hewlett from R.L. Hewlett. We'll continue our conversation with them next on The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition. It is something special to have a leadership in the next generation, to have ownership in the next generation, and even the interest in the next generation and want to step up to be owners. Have you developed them to be effective owners? Let me tell you about CMA Consulting, and you should be reaching out to them. Their website is cmaconsult.com. If these are questions you've been wondering for your family business, have you thought about how you're going to be able to apply those insights into the family business and to make sure that they can be ready to take over? If you have a lot of questions, maybe you want to pick up the phone. Give them a call. It's 314-721-1860. Unify, develop, and align your family business. Go to cmaconsult.com, or again, the phone number is 314-721-1860. We're always looking for great family business stories. Reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting, their website, cmaconsult.com. Let them know you have a story to tell on this program, The Business of Family Business. And this weekend, we're talking to Bob and Trevor Hewlett from R.L. Hewlett here in St. Louis. And we continue with Trevor Hewlett, Bob's son. So what interests you then? What was the thing that got you hooked?
You know, I'd say the deal making, it's, you know, is always interesting, pairing up a seller and a buyer and mm-hmm. figuring out who was the right fit and
right.
culturally and all those things. And
yeah.
Just the people aspect was always interesting. But having a foundation in as a CPA or as a, you know, with some financial background, I thought made a lot of sense, was interesting to me.
So when did you first become involved at R.L. Hewlett, and what were you doing at the time?
So it would have been the summer of junior year in high school. It would have been 1987, I believe.
Okay.
And so I was just doing, you know, filing clerical work, just like any, you know, teenage intern, high school intern would do, and
mm-hmm.
Going through files and trying to organize things and learning about, you know, the different referral sources that Dad worked with there at the firm, and the nature of what the clients did, and, you know, what the agreements look like, and just you know, Dad was good about introducing me to people when I was there. If he had prospects or, you know, banker friends coming in, just got a little bit of an appreciation for what he did on a daily basis.
Yeah. And what year did you start?
1987 would have been junior year in high school.
But did you go to college?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Got an accounting degree, came out of Mizzou in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Spent 3 years in public accounting and then another three with a publicly traded company and then 9 years at Enterprise. And then I started full-time with a firm in 2007.
Came back that way. Bob, I wanted to talk to you about the early years. Did Trevor get any special treatment because he was your son?
No.
Not even a little bit?
No.
It's probably the best way to handle that sort of thing.
You're exactly right. The only way he can learn, anybody can learn, is by doing. You got to do it yourself. And so I didn't make it easy for him. I can say that. I mean, I didn't make it doubly difficult, but
right.
I didn't do it for him. He has to do it for himself.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that Trevor, he went and was working at some other companies. He was also working at Enterprise. There was the time where he was away. Was there any hope that he would come into the family business? And secretly, were you trying to lure him back to R.L. Hewlett?
Well, there was always a hope that he'd be back in the firm.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't really, quote, leave the firm.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to him was, you have to have some common sense and some practical experience outside of the firm before you start doing deals. And so I encouraged him to do this, go out and do it on his own. And then when he was, I said, when you're ready, then you come back.
Yeah.
And come into the firm, just like I have with taking over the firm. Mm-hmm. I said, whenever you're ready, you just tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll get out of the way, so to speak.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I like how Bob sets this up. You know, he wanted to go get some common sense. I wanted to encourage him to go out and get this other experience. It's an approach we've seen with other family businesses. It sounds like it's a very smart approach to it.
Yeah, I think he probably could have got some common sense at R.L. Hewlett as well. So, but it is common that a lot of family businesses want the next generation to go get experience elsewhere, try it on their own, see what they're worth, see what they can do. It helps build confidence. It helps broaden their perspective. And that generally makes a better leader when they do come back into the family business.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes there's very good reasons why some people just come into the family business because there's an emergency or some situation arises that's unanticipated. Mm-hmm. That's a right thing to do as well.
Right. Trevor, when you first started at I wanted to try to get a timeline back again. So R.L. Hewlett, you were walking into a point where the markets were a little bit weird. And when you're coming back into the family business at that point, it might have not have been the easiest time to come back to the family business. So it probably for your dad's sake, it was the right time you were coming in.
Well, if you can survive the 2008-2009 downturn, then you know it's a pretty good test to whether or not you know you can stick it out long term in this business. But in 2007, the market was still performing well. There was a lot of capital. It was, you know, deals were still happening in 2007. It was kind of summer to fall of 2008 when the wheels fell off, mm-hmm. and so we had to quickly adapt and change gears from, you know, our more traditional sell side investment banking services to really looking at, you know, working with banks on working out, you know, some of their portfolio companies that had run into challenges, or we even got into some bankruptcy auction processes. So mm-hmm. we adapted quickly and. You know, the market was tight as it relates to, you know, banks were not necessarily, they didn't have much of an appetite to lend in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there was not much of an appetite from business owners or private equity to make acquisitions. There was a very cautious approach and hesitancy to take risk at that time. And so, the dynamic of our business really changed for a good 2 to 3 years as far as where we spent our time.
Let me ask you about that, Bob. So during those rough times, you have to adapt. And how did you guys decide your strategies to adapt when you didn't exactly know what the future would hold or how long maybe a recession would last? It must have been it must have been pretty dicey there for a little bit.
Well, it was and it wasn't. Our business has been through probably 6 recessions since we've been in business, mm-hmm. because we've been in business almost 40 years. So that doesn't scare me much, mm-hmm. the fact that there's a recession. The thing that is unique to our business is that we have different clients during different periods. When you have a recession, you could have a client that's having trouble, mm-hmm. that has financial trouble, that needs to sell because they're having financial difficulty. So we just adapt to that. Mm-hmm. And when you have a situation where the economy is booming, then people have an appetite to buy companies and to help them grow. Mm-hmm. So you adapt to that. It's not like it's impossible. It's just different.
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned, Trevor, was bank workouts. Can you explain what that is?
Well, at the time, banks, you know, what they were trying to do was clean up their portfolio, and some of the clients, some of the loan customers of theirs that had gotten into trouble with, you know, being over-levered or having trouble making repayments on their loan, cash flow was tight. Mm-hmm. We would engage with the bank to put a plan together, you know, tighten up cash flow and look at it almost on a weekly basis to kind of work out of a somewhat troubled situation. In some mm-hmm. cases, restructure the debt with the bank to try to work them out of a challenging situation.
Hmm. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, when there's different troubling times in the market or a recession, and you heard how R.L. Hewlett, you know, there's probably about 6 recessions they've been through, and they find a way to adapt, and just things are different, but they can find a way to make things work for them. What are your thoughts on the different ways that they shift services to make that work?
Well, the Great Recession was a particularly difficult one, and every business took a hit during that recession. Many went out of business, so the fact they stayed in business, you get a compliment there because you were able to survive. But what Bob and what Trevor did seems to be right on target. They pivoted, they found different organizations, different type of clients that would use their services, use their skill sets, and they can still add value and still keep the doors open. It's a great success.
R.L. Hewlett, they're in investment banking. Bob and Trevor Hewlett will continue our conversation with them, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business, on KMOX. We tell the stories of family businesses, and if you'd like to hear any of our previous stories, go to KMOX.com. In the podcast section, search for The Business of Family Business. Our story this weekend is with Bob and Trevor Hewlett from R.L. Hewlett, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. So what type of businesses would you typically work with? Would they come to you and ask questions about, you know, if they're thinking about perhaps selling, or do they already have someone they want to sell to in mind, or what's the process like, the people that come to R.L. Hewlett?
They come from a various set of circumstances. I mean, it depends on, each one of them is different, frankly. Mm-hmm. One recent deal that we worked on and closed was a company where a fellow was getting divorced, and his wife wanted a certain level of compensation for her share of the business, which just happened to be calculated on the basis of the gross revenue of the company. Mm. So if the company was doing $10 million a year, she thought the company should be worth $10 million. Mm-hmm. Well, that's never the case.
Right.
So we counseled with him to take him through this situation and got the value down to a reasonable level. And then I said to him, you know, you really should sell this company. And his CFO was with him at the time that I said that. And she said, you know, you're right. It's time. And so we took him to market and sold the company for multiples of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And every one of those, the companies that we've worked on, has a story like that. But many come from banks, CPA firms, CMA.
Right.
Lots of different places.
Right. And right now, what is the market like in St. Louis, Missouri? Is it a hot market? Is it a cold market? Or what are we looking at, just generally speaking?
Well, the best way I can answer that question is how we get clients, and that is we get up early and we run fast.
Mm-hmm.
So whether the market is hot or cool, really doesn't affect us so much as our efforts mm-hmm. affect us. Now, sometimes we have people come to us who just call in and say they're interested in selling their company. So we talk to them and ultimately get them as a client and then sell their business.
Mm-hmm.
Our statistics are quite good at that. We sign roughly half the people we ever talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we close half of those. So we have a huge record
mm-hmm.
for closing deals, getting clients and closing deals.
Yeah. I like the idea of hitting the ground and working hard for 40-some years. You're still doing it. That never gets old for you. That you never stop. You've never slowed down.
The thought of retiring never crosses my mind.
Yeah, why not?
I just can't imagine retiring. I love this business so much. I do it every day.
Maybe when we talk about retirement and the different roles that you take on, Trevor, have you taken on a bigger role at R.L. Hewlett over the years?
Yes, I've transitioned into more management role. In terms of recruiting talent and managing talent, as well as, I guess, managing client engagements and business development. So doing a lot of different things.
What's your working relationship with your father? How do you guys work together?
Oh, we have a good working relationship. We have a lot of fun and, work together on clients and have a lot of good stories. And, one of my favorites is, when I first joined the business, Dad said, son, this business is real simple. All you need to do are two things. He said, there's a lot of things I don't do well, but I'm pretty good at two things. I get clients and I make deals. You figure those two things out and you can be successful in this business. and there are a lot more of those that we've chuckled over the years and had a good time working together. And, it's been great. I've learned a lot about persistence through difficult times, and when he says I get up every morning and run like heck, that's the absolute truth. Another one of my favorites is I was born in 1943 and I've been marketing ever since.
That's an interesting question. How do we relate to each other?
Mm-hmm.
And my philosophy is I gotta leave him alone. If you micromanage somebody that you want to take over the firm, it's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave him alone and I watch. He doesn't think I'm watching, but I am.
Yeah.
And if he needs a little piece of advice, I give it to him. But usually I leave him alone.
Yeah. But you want him to take over the firm at some point.
Oh, sure. Well, actually, he does. For the most part, he does now.
Yeah. So retirement or just enjoying the rest of your life doesn't appeal to you. This is what's enjoyable to you. Yeah.
I don't work quite as hard as I used to, but I enjoy doing it every day.
Do you get a thrill when you talk to different clients and get to the point where you work out and help them?
Get clients and make deals. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's something you can't see yourself doing anything else that's more fun.
No, well, there's a medicinal reason for it, too. I mean, if you're involved in something and you get older, then your brain stays active.
Mm-hmm.
You're less inclined to have dementia. So that's another reason to keep doing it.
Be able to stay active and keep
your
brain active.
Stay active.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to talk to you about this too because, we see these different situations where there's roles and limited roles over the years and different leadership transitions. How do you think R.L. Hewlett is handling this one?
I think they're handling it very well, and I have no doubt that Bob's watching and monitoring everything. He's a pretty sharp guy, and I don't think much gets by him. It's kind of like a goalie in hockey, not much gets by him. So I have no idea about I have no reason to question the accuracy of what he's saying. I also think Trevor's doing a good job, and Bob has a good philosophy. Let Trevor figure it out, and if I see something, we bring it up, but otherwise he's on his own, and he'll figure it out and do a great job.
With R.L. Hewlett and some of the different areas that you guys cover, if people wanted to look you up and learn about some of the services that you offer, where can they find you?
Go to the website, www.rlhewlett.com, and we're also on business owners want to learn about different things about transitioning or succession planning or what types of things should I be thinking about in advance of running a process and going to market to sell the company. We have some materials available on the website.
There's other companies that do acquisitions. What really separates you to get to that point where you are the trusted brand that different companies come to?
Most of the answer to that comes from other clients that we have had. who say they have worked with us and they've enjoyed the experience and we've accomplished what they wanted. Mm-hmm. So it's more what other people say about us. We're fundamentally very humble people. I was born and raised in a very humble environment, came to St. Louis and I had nothing and started the firm with nothing, built it to today. So we're humble people. We just get clients and make deals. It's real simple business. We're not flashy. We're not glitzy. We don't even drive a Rolls Royce.
Right. Do you want to?
No. And I could.
You could.
I could.
How many employees do you guys have?
Well, it fluctuates. It normally is about 10. We're down a few now because sometimes people retire, you know. Sometimes they...
Yeah. You wouldn't know about that.
They go and talk to Dean. We send them over there.
I bet internet's changed the way you do business a lot.
Probably. Didn't even have that when we started.
Well, sure. Yeah. When did that become a factor in your business?
Gee, I don't remember exactly when it was.
Yeah.
I'm so non-technical that I don't pay attention to all that.
But you bring on people that do pay attention to that sort of thing, and that's probably important.
That's right.
Yeah. That probably has changed a lot. Trevor, do you have any kids?
I do. 3.
Yeah. How old are they?
So my oldest daughter is 20. She'll be a junior in college. And I got another daughter that will be a senior in high school.
Okay.
She's 18. Mm-hmm. And then my son, my youngest, is 14. He'll be a freshman in high school.
Your oldest daughter that's going to college, what is she going to college for?
She is studying accounting to go into public accounting like her grandfather and father, following in our footsteps.
How about that? So does she have interest in, at some point, rejoining into the family business?
Possibly, you know. Yeah. In fact, she's working this summer with us as an intern to, work on valuation modeling and working on parts of the offering memorandums that we do.
Any special treatment to her, or are you going to do the same treatment your dad did to you?
Same treatment. Yeah. She's got to earn her keep and learn the ropes like everybody else.
Yeah, summertime is a good time to learn those things, and she still has another year or two of school, depending on how long it takes, and that's pretty exciting probably for you that you have someone in the family interested.
It is, yeah. I enjoy having her there, and I think she's learning a lot, too. I don't think she really had much of an idea what mergers and acquisitions was, and for her to be there every day just seeing what we do, I think she's learned a lot in a very short period of time.
It's a family of entrepreneurs, a long line of them. Bob and Trevor Hewlett will continue our conversation with them one more time on the Business of Family Business and the story of R.L. Hewlett next. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and I want you to imagine what it's like for a family business owner to make that decision to transition. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. Sometimes they're ready to step back and allow the transition to happen. Other times, they want to hold on to it. I understand these things. That's why you could use some help. And that's where CMA Consulting could come in. They lead a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to be effective owners. You probably have a lot of questions. Who do you talk to when you have a question? Maybe you should give CMA a try. Let them know where you're at and ask them the question, Dan, what can you do for our family business? They'll have an answer. Contact them for a complimentary, no obligation meeting. 314-721-1860. Even if it's just for a cup of coffee or a lunch, give them a call. The website, cmaconsult.com. I'm sure you have lots of questions. Throw it at CMA Consulting. Let them impress you. 314-721-1860. If you're enjoying this story and know a great family business in the St. Louis region, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to Dan Bean. He's at CMA Consulting. Their website, cmaconsult.com. Send that website to someone you know and let them know we're always looking to tell great stories on this program, The Business of Family Business. One last time, we're joined with Bob and Trevor Hewlett from R.L. Hewlett, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Did you see a lot change in the internet since you've been there? There's probably a point where you predominantly see the internet as something that you can't do without in your business.
Absolutely. The marketing through social media has changed dramatically. LinkedIn has become a very critical aspect to how we go to market, how we promote the brand and sort of demonstrate to the market what our activities are, whether we're marketing deals or posting tombstones on transactions that we've recently closed. LinkedIn is a very important aspect to marketing. And then, you know, making the website more dynamic and interfaced and with updates of press releases mm-hmm. and newsletters and things like that. And then also just the virtual aspect to the deal-making process itself in terms of using a virtual deal room. Whereas back in the day, you know, Dad and I have spoken about where it all used to be physical documents kind of staged in a conference room, and the buyers would physically come into the office and go through all the documents physically. Mm-hmm. And where now it can be done virtually from anywhere in the world.
Probably saves a lot of time. I don't know if there's any other things you can file online as opposed to, you know, drive somewhere and stand in line and do a certain thing. This, it probably expedites some of the processes that you go through and helps save a lot of time on your end.
Oh, no doubt about it. All the financial records and, you know, insurance and payroll, you know, all the balance sheets. And then you get different constituencies involved in the data room from all different locations around the country. You get the lenders involved and the CPAs are doing the financial diligence. You got the attorneys doing their review, and it's all being accessed from one controlled virtual data site, which makes things much more efficient.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to ask you about this because it sounds like some of the different services for R.L. Hewlett and yourself may overlap a little bit, but he also mentioned that you guys work hand in hand in some cases.
Well, we do. We can make referrals to each other because we do, fundamentally, we provide different service. Mm-hmm. But we work with a lot of the same type of clients, smaller and mid-sized businesses in a variety of industries. But in terms of generational transition, Bob and Trevor are more likely going to work with people who don't make the generational transition and therefore may be forced to consider a sale.
Yeah.
And we're going to work with the one-third who does make the generational transition, or at least they hopefully do with our guidance.
Right. So, Bob, with R.L. Hewlett, and if people are listening right now and they may have some questions, or who generally would be interested in your services and who would you encourage to contact R.L. Hewlett if they had questions?
Anybody who owns a company who is thinking about selling it or thinks they should think about selling it,
mm-hmm.
we'd like to get them before they actually come to the conclusion that they got to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So early on is better for us. People who need valuations of their companies for various reasons, whether it's estate planning or divorce planning mm-hmm. or whatever they need a valuation for, we're very helpful in that regard. So mm-hmm. earlier is better, but anybody who's thinking about buying or anybody who's thinking about selling.
Why is earlier better?
Because it does not narrow your options. If you wait until it's too late, in our opinion, too late, you have deleted some of your options. You don't have as many options, and we're much better off. The client and us are much better off mm-hmm. if we have options.
Right. Part of that, too, is just making sure people know you're available to do this sort of thing. And, I mean, you work with all kinds of different clients across St. Louis. What's the easiest way to reach you? Is it through the website, or do you prefer people to give you a call or come into the office? What would be the easiest way, you think?
Easiest way is just give us a call or shoot us an email. Either way, and we're always happy to have an introductory call or a meeting and talk about how we might work together.
So what's the website? What's the phone number if people wanted to reach out?
www.rlhewlett.com, and the phone number is 314-721-0607.
As of right now, Bob, no intention of retiring anytime soon. You're still going out strong, so if people wanted to give you a call, you'll be there to answer it.
I'll be there. I'm going out on a gurney, okay? I'll be there forever.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I guess when you see certain owners, of course, in Bob's case, someone that founded a company, very connected, how often do you see the founder continue on to say that, you know, I'll be there until I'm on the gurney?
So founders have a particularly tough time in letting go of a business, more so than other generations who lead the business. Now, I'm talking in generality, but it's their baby. They gave birth to it. They developed it. It becomes another child. Mm-hmm. They grew it, and it's theirs, and they don't want to let go. They want to hang on to it as long as they can, and it's a very emotional experience. I had one business founder who was turning over the business to his son-in-law, and he told me, I told him it was time to turn it over. And he looked at me and he said, it was a lot easier for me to give my daughter to that son-in-law of mine than it was to give him this business. And if you tell the family I said it, I'll deny it. So I understand where Bob's coming from. They're going to take me out feet first because it is. It's his baby and he wants to hang out. At the same time, he's done a very good job of creating room for Trevor to come in and take over. He's staying connected in a very effective way.
Trevor, let me ask you about the different types of industries that you work with. Can you give us an idea of what that looks like?
Absolutely. So we're fairly agnostic. We've covered over the years. We've advised in 250 transactions in a variety of industries, primarily industrial, manufacturing, distribution type companies, business services, healthcare services, and tech-enabled services, along with some companies in transportation and logistics as well. Mm-hmm. We haven't done a lot in pure real estate or pure retail, but broad coverage otherwise. Typically, we're working with companies that have, you know, on the low end, maybe $5 million in revenue up to, you know, we've worked with companies that are as large as $200 million in revenue.
Probably you have to put a lot of hours in to make sure all of the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted at a point like that because, you know, you're probably dealing with a lot of assets.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a lot of different areas that are worked on in parallel from, you know, the financial aspect to the legal to, you know, operational, a lot of the customer analysis, revenue by customer, and what end markets do the companies serve, and, you know, looking at all the different legal aspects like contracts and environmental and HR insurance. We get involved with a lot of different areas within all these businesses that our clients have.
Do you ever have to work with the government for any of these sales?
We do. Sometimes there's permitting. Sometimes there, you know, some of our clients have been in government contracting, so there can be GSA schedules. There can be certain licenses that need to be transferred from one company to the buyer's company. And so, absolutely.
What's it like working with the government?
Well, it adds a little bit of complexity, takes a little bit longer.
It probably does.
It makes it a little bit more challenging.
If people physically wanted to walk in and talk to you and test the quality of your coffee, where can they go?
We're at 8000 Maryland at the corner of Maryland and Merrimack, Suite 245 in the DHR building.
And again, if they just wanted to call ahead of time,
314-721-0607.
rlhewlett.com is your website. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to get your impressions of the story you heard today.
Yeah, this is a story of an entrepreneur who wanted a business and who had the grit and determination to get that business launched and off the ground. Bob's description of the early years reflects a lot of common themes that we hear across entrepreneurs. Long hours, lots of calls to get a few clients, but always the persistence that every entrepreneur must have to keep going in the face of sometimes long odds. He knows the marketplace, knows how to pivot when the marketplace shifts, always persisting, providing great service when the client does say yes. These are the keys to having a strong business. On the family side, this is a story of a father and a son combination who get along and work well together and have figured out this generational transition from G1 to G2, which is never easy.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Bob and Trevor Hewlett from RL Hewlett, I'm so glad you came in to share your story today. Thank you for coming on to the business.